All right, are you ready for the word? I want to show you something today that I think will be a blessing. I don't think it'll be a blessing to you. I know it will. You know, the Bible says faith comes by. Okay, so you're going to hear the word today, so you could, should go up to the next notch, don't you think? In your faith. All right, I want to talk to you today and tell you that God is gathering his bride. It may not look like it, but he's still at it. I mean, he's just gathering the bride, and he's also gathering the tares. Now, the Bible says in Matthew that in the last days that he would send his angels at the end time, and they would gather the bride together, and they would gather up the tares and bundle them up and throw them in the fire. Well, that's a horrible thing. But you can almost see the world and their culture and their ideas and their theologies coming together. And it's like they're all bundling up. Every time I hear this crazy idea going along with this crazy idea, I say they're just bundling. Just bundling up together. And you can see the gathering is going on. But you all know this. God will not, shall not, ever be mocked. He's just not going to. And that's according to the word of God, Galatians 6:7. It says this, in fact. Do not be deceived. Don't fool yourself, as my daddy used to say. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I was on my way to church this morning, and I have the sweetest neighbors. I mean, everybody on my block, they're just wonderful folks. And so the guy next door, he's a retired, well, I won't tell you what he does. He might be your uncle, Porterville Small. So anyway, I'm coming to church, and he's out there with this probably Roundup spraying the weeds. And I thought, he's such a sweet man. His wife goes to church. But he was out there spraying the weeds. And I thought, dear Lord, that man is deceived. Smart man. I mean, he was a career man. He's a retired man. But he doesn't know that he was putting some silly weed in front of Jesus. Jesus said, now, if you'll seek me first, all those other things will be added to you. See, the proverb said that in the hand of God is riches, honor, and life. And that's what the world seeks after. Everyone wants riches, everyone wants honor, and everyone wants life. And he said, it's all in my hand, and I'll give it to you. I'll release it to you. What do? You seek me first. But my friend's out there seeking the weeds first. Like, well, that's going to come to naught. They're just going to be up again next month. Help yourself. But they're going to be up again whether it's a Christian or not. I'm just talking about God is just not going to be mocked in any way. Let me ask you real quick, since today's Super Bowl Sunday, you remember Tim Tebow? Great, great man. Great man of God. Great football player. I didn't know he was a professional baseball player as well. Great man, unashamed of the gospel. So you remember how he knelt out on the field and he prayed. And he got in so much trouble for that. They shamed him like he was just an absolute heathen. Crazy Christian ideas. And they shamed him. One man took all that. And then some others, you know, whatever. We won't even get into the whole deal. I just want to say that. Remember him. So Tim Tebow gets shamed for praying on the field. So God's word said, don't you worry about it. I will not be mocked. I'll take it from here. It may be a few days. It might be a while. But see, God never forgets In fact, you'll see it many times in the Bible. It says he remembered Noah. He remembered Hannah. Oh, he remembered Tim Tebow. And the shame and the ridicule and the pushing away. He sees the movie stars in Hollywood that when they stand up for what's right, they get kicked to the curb with movies. But God will remember them. All right, Kathy, let me show you how God, he has a way with mocking. Do you remember Damar Hamlin? Y'all remember him? I thought, sure. Remember, he's the one that had that cardiac arrest on the football field. Let's see that little clip, Kathy. Pull the lights down.
Football gave me everything. You know, and I think even through the midst of absolute tragedy last night, I think you saw some of the beauty of football as well, that it's brought us all here together. You know, like, this is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like, thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
Damar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him.
Go ahead.
God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad. We're angry. And we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray. Truly come to you and pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 Let it play on.
It's beautiful.
Respectfully.
We will continue to cover this story. We'll continue to bring you all the updates that we have. And as usual, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. I'll just reiterate how secondary football is in all of this. We are thinking and praying, as you've seen here, for Damar Hamlin and his family, and truly hoping for some better news.
Oh, booking.com.
Well, what do you think about that? ESPN had to give God glory. Not only that, the lady journalist, said something that has never been said on national TV, especially for the NFL. Football is secondary. Prayer is first. I wonder if my neighbor will ever say those weeds are secondary. God is first. You know, we put all kinds of other things in front of him. Not necessarily sinful things. Some are sinful. But other things just entering in. But God will have his way. And he touched that young man in front of the whole world. Now, you saw all the football players. I mean, Tebow, one man kneeling on the field, got in trouble for it. But God says, oh, I won't be mocked. So he has both teams. Who were they? Buffalo Bills and who else? Bengals. So he has both teams. They just get out there and pray. Man, they're praying, and they get the camera in their face, and they're like, see, so don't be discouraged, folks. God will not be mocked. And I'll tell you this, and it doesn't take a prophet to tell you this. We're going to see more and more and more of this. I wonder what God's going to do when it comes to how they change the law on marriage. I wonder how he will mock that. I wonder how he'll change. I wonder how he'll mock their rulings on abortion and how we change it this way and they trying to discredit it and change it back. You know, I mean, God is just not going to be mocked. So we're going to see so many changes. Well, I want to take you here, and I'm not going to bring the message I got back then, but I'm bringing you something today that I know the Lord is going to. Well, I'll just go here. It was about 30 years ago. My husband and daughter will be gone 36 years this year. And what's funny is I was 35 years old when they died. And so they've been gone longer now. And so it's just not long after. And I had just started really, as a girl, I was teaching Sunday school and ministering in song. And even when they passed, we were going out on the road on weekends and, you know, singing locally in California. And I think that summer we had recorded our first CD in Nashville. But anyway, after that, when they passed, and I remember walking up in front of the casket and speaking. They were both buried together. And I guess that was the first time that I had, you know, I think my anointing came there that day. You know, David had four anointings. I know I was anointed when I was a little girl. I remember that. But this was a special day. And so just a few months had gone by, and I had never, ever ministered at a women's conference. And didn't really care to, because I'd rather minister to everybody. I never felt like that I wanted to specialize in one group or another. And so this church called me from, it was a Four Square church that called me from L.A. and wanted me to do their women's conference. Well, I just act like that's what I did all the time. And, you know, let me check my calendar. Calendar just happened to be open. You know what the evangelists say today. I just had a cancellation. Well, I didn't say that, but I said, yes, I will. I'll do that. And so I said, so what day is it on? She says, we're going to start on Friday night. We're going to do Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And I'm counting as she's saying this, and I'm thinking, that's four services to the same group. I've never done four meetings to that same group. Well, my Lord, we had been out on the road, and I came home. I was just resting on my sofa. And I hung up with her, and I said, I just told that woman I was going to do those four meetings. Oh, my goodness, God, what am I going to do? I don't know how to do that. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I'll never forget it. It was less than 10 minutes. He must have just done this to encourage me. He gave me a download like that. Four services just came on me, just four messages. I didn't even have to write them down. And he let me know. When he speaks, you know it. You just know it in here. You can remember where you were, what he said, how he said it, and how you received it. So it came like this. I want you to just talk about preparing the bride. I am going to be preparing my bride in these next years. So you tell them that they may as well get ready. I'm going to be preparing my bride. Okay. And then it went on to, well, you know, in America, all courtships begin with rings. You know, you begin with, and here was the four messages. All courtships begin with rings. You start with the friendship ring. And then after the friendship ring, where's Natalie? She needs to be listening. And Gina, tell your granddaughters, put your ears on. So you got friendship ring first. And then it goes to the promise ring. And that's when you got to kind of check with mom and dad, make sure, you know, that's on. So promise ring. And then after that, you go to the engagement ring. Woo! Then you're starting to get a little more serious. And then the wedding ring. So you got all these. So he let me know that each one of those services was going to be about those rings. Now, I'm not going to teach that this morning. One of these days, I'll take a ring check because that one's really fun. Because when you're just a friendship with a guy or a girl, I mean, you just carry yourself as a friend. You're just, they're fun to be with, you know. They're just fun. It's just friend, that's all. Now, when you're married, that's a different story. You can't just have girlfriends or boyfriends when you're married, okay? Keep that separate. I'm not talking about that. Though you will with people you work with. But whenever they get that promise ring, you'll see they start carrying themselves a little bit different. Before, as a friend, well, used to, we, you know, dressed up a little more. Guys would comb their hair and shoes look nice. But today it's just hang out, baby, just hang out, you know. But then when that engagement came, it just meant that you're going to have eyes for nobody else. And when you, the promise rang and our day was like going steady. Today it's promise. And in those days when we wore, got the going steady ring, it was a big old ring. My husband had, who was my boyfriend, was in Vietnam, and he had this big ring. And he gave it to me, and I had to tape it over and over and over to get it to stay on. And so then some of the girls, we started wearing it around our neck on a chain. So anyway, that meant that you were, you're pretty much attached. You know, you're not going to date other people and that kind of thing. But the, it just gets more serious as it goes along. So I'll just leave that there. I think you got the picture. You could probably preach that. So, but here was the next word, and I'll never forget it. And I pretty much took this all over America. He said, I am tired of being treated like an unwanted boyfriend. And you say, God doesn't say I'm tired. No, when he's speaking to people like us, he talks our language. And what he meant was, you quit treating me like that. Well, girls, how many of you know what an unwanted boyfriend is? Put your hand down, married lady. But I think we all know when you men, of course, in those days, you know, maybe even today, if the boy has a car and you don't, well, he might just be an unwanted boyfriend to get you to wherever you want to go. An unwanted boyfriend, well, he's somebody to, you know, talk to at school, and everybody thinks you're, are you an item or whatever they call you today? Are you talking? You know? So God said, no, I don't want any of that anymore. They understood the friendship ring. And I'm afraid that a lot of people in the church are just a friend of God, and they're just wearing the little friendship ring. And then you can still do whatever you want to do, the way you want to do it, when you want to do it, because it's none of their business. But he said, tell them that I'm tired of being used. Like only when you have an emergency. Or you need me. I want you to be with me all the time. He said, I'm not even interested in the promise ring. That was the second session. Boy, we worked that first one over. I used to be bold in those days. So we worked that friendship over. And, man, we had an altar full of girls. And he said, but the promise ring isn't much better. Not much of a commitment. They go to church, read their Bible now and then. But still, it's more or less on a, I need you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me do this. But you see, even little kids understand the rings. We lived up at the ranch. My little girls went to Citrus, South Thule. Sarah was in kindergarten, and Jamie was in the second grade. And one day, Jamie came home, and she had a little box. Said, Mommy, look what Jake gave me. I said, what is it, baby? She pulls out that box, and there was a mother's ring. And this little boy, he liked her so much, but see, he knew he needed to give her a ring to show his affection for her. So he just happened to see this ring laying on Mama's dresser. And it had, he said, Jamie, he said, look at my ring. I gave you, it has two diamonds. One's red and one's green. I may not have the colors right, but look at this. She said, Mama, isn't that the most beautiful ring? He must really like me. It's just so beautiful. I said, oh, baby, that is just so pretty. It's beautiful. And I didn't want to hurt her little feelings, but what am I going to do? Well, first thing I did was call her teacher, Mrs. Dietz, do you know Jake's mother? Jamie came home, he gave her a ring, and he gave her his mother's ring. We had the biggest laugh about that. So I said, I'll bring it in the morning. So we got it back, and anyway, it's hilarious. Mama probably spanked him, I don't know. But we laughed while it was time to laugh. But see, anyone can give a ring. Anyone can come to church. And pretty much anyone can read our Bible. But most of the time, if you're just a friend, sometimes you just peek through to see what maybe the psalmist may have written to help you. But God said, I want more than that. Just tell them they just can't date me. And I told those ladies, I said, listen, God said to tell you, he doesn't want to just date you anymore. He doesn't just want to be your friend. Did you ever date somebody and they wanted to be more than a friend? And it just gets so annoying. And you go back, hey, we're just friends. Yeah, but you know what? I can make you like me. No. No, I like you now, but I'm not going to like you more. And you can't make me, you know. But I guess I just want to tell you how much he loves you today. You know, Valentine's Day is Tuesday. But I just felt like he wanted me to take you here and tell you how important it is to him that you get off the dating cycle. You get off the friendship cycle. You've got a whole bunch of friends out there. But we only have one Jesus, one Lord, one Savior. Only one died for us. Hallelujah. And he said, I want to be loved by you. I want to be loved by you. And I want you to tell me, he said. My husband and daughter were gone about 6 months. And I went to Oklahoma City. Sarah and I went to Oklahoma City with Mother Evans, great apostle of the faith. And so I think she just did it to get me out of town and to have the experience. And she put me on, she did the night meetings and I did the morning meetings. And while I was there, I did that first morning meeting and I ran back to my room before we went to have lunch, and I went back in there and I said, Jesus, I pray that I pleased you, because it was hard for me to teach those women. I mean, they were my seniors. They knew more than I'd ever know. And there I was talking to them. And as I was there, I went back and I just opened my Bible because I didn't know where to look. And Hosea chapter 2 said this, from now on, you will not call me Baali, which B-A-L-I. You will no longer call me Baali. That means master. But from now on, you will call me Ishi, I-S-H-I. You will call me Ishi. That means husband. I will be your husband. And he has been that to me. He's kept me these 36 years. I have no sad story to tell. I'm happy. I'm joyous. I'm content. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And he's your strength. And so that's not just to the widow. That's to all of us men. That's to you too, gentlemen. He is your Ishi. He is your husband. But see, men don't know what it's like to have a husband. Sometimes I feel sorry for you guys. Because to have a husband is a good thing. It's your security blanket. When you married them, they gave you their name. Their last name became yours. How do you give your name away? Only to the one you love. They give you their name. They're your security. They protect you. They're all the above. And they're the priest in the home. And when that's gone, God becomes our covering and our security. And he becomes all that for which I'm thankful. But let me do this or I could be here all day. Y'all want to stay at about 4 or 5 o'clock tonight? Well, you better turn to Song of Solomon then. Let me get this done. Look how sweet this is. I just want to show you how much he wants to be with you. This is today's message. This isn't 35 years ago. This is what I got for us right here. Look at Song of Solomon 2:14. Here's God speaking to us through the richest and the wisest man in the world, Solomon, David's son, the king. He's saying this to his lover. But let us represent us, 2:14. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, look what God says to you. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. God said, I want to see your face sometimes. Your friends see your face. The people you work with see your face. But how about that secret place with me? Come here with me, wife. I want to see your face. It's beautiful. I want to hear your voice. It's sweet. Oh, just let me hear your voice. It's sweet. And your face is lovely. Doesn't matter what you think about your face. He says, I love your face. Too sweet. Go back to verse 4 and 5. So this little Shulamite girl that he's in love with says this in verse 4 and 5, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And this is what Jesus did to us when we gave him our hearts. Oh, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. We say is love. He sustained me with cakes of raisins, and he refreshed me with apples, for I am lovesick. Remember when he sustained Elijah with cakes and water? He sustained him. And he sustains us, Rick and Annette. God is sustaining you with cakes of his love, his mercy and your friends, his love. Your family drove days to get here to overshadow you. Mama's much older than you, Rick. But she's overshadowing her son. She's the matriarch in the family. She said, oh, my husband is wonderful. His banner over me is love. One time Al Hearn, everybody knows Al Hearn, don't you? Great teacher, worked for years and years, taught most of you. Al said, he always thought things through. So he got a bumper sticker from some evangelist that came to church, and on the back of his car it said, your banner over me is love. And I said, well, Brother Al, that's a nice banner you put on your car. He said, it's about the only one I could put on it, Pastor. He said, you know, it might say honk if you love Jesus, or he said, but sometimes I don't act like Jesus at a red light. You know, they see me doing this or doing that or whatever. But I could say his banner over me is love. That's about all I could say. So his banner over us. He brought us, church, to his banqueting table. Every single end of the month we come to his table and we take communion. We take his blood and his body. We come to the banqueting table because he has covered us, hallelujah, with his love. All right, let's look at a picture of Jesus right here. Go to chapter 2. Let's go down to verse let's see. I don't want you to miss this. Okay, look at verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. The voice, now he talked about your voice. I'm telling you, I heard his voice in here. And if you had the floor, you can tell me what you felt like he said to you in your heart. You always can hear his voice when he speaks. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes. Is he not coming for us? Behold, he comes. We're still on this side of his coming. Behold, he comes leaping upon mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved, she says, is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. He's looking at her. My beloved spoke and he said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away with me. Come away. That's what he's saying to us. You all one day will rise up and come away with me. Verse 11, for lo, the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth and a time of singing has come and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. We'll stop right there. But the end of verse 13 says, rise up and come, my love, my fair one, come away. He's still saying, please come away with me, my loved one. You come with me. You have time for everybody else and everything else. But how about me? Come away with me. Meet me in the secret place. Hallelujah. That's the good news. Let me give you some bad news. So she knew him. She loved him. Oh my goodness, if we had time to read the whole thing. She loved this man. He loved her. And it was so beautiful. It was written down. God is never mentioned in this book. His name is not mentioned. You won't find it. Song of Solomon is not quoted in the New Testament. Jesus did mention Solomon. He said the lilies of the field. He said when you look at Solomon and all of his splendor, all of his royal robes and crowns, he is not decked out as one of these little lilies of the field. That's all he said. So I know that she was in love with him and she was betrothed to him. And he became his first wife. Solomon had many wives later on, but she became his first. They were totally dedicated to each other and there was nobody else. They didn't play. They had eyes for nobody else. They didn't talk about anybody else. They were sold out. But he had to go away on business for a while. And I heard an old Chinese man preaching on TBN one time. And he said, oh, saints, don't coolie offy. Do not coolie offy. I would say she coolie offied on him while he was gone. All right, you want to see? Chapter 5, verse 2. Now, I did bring this portion of scripture to that conference. I'll never forget it. Because she got cold. Look at chapter 5, verse 2, still in Song of Solomon. She said, I'm sorry. We better go up to chapter 1, verse 1. I'm sorry, 5 and 1. I can't read that without this. I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered myrrh and my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. And to his friends, he said, now you eat, O friends, drink, yes, deeply, O beloved ones. And then he goes straight to her house. He hasn't seen her in a while, and he knocks on the door. And here's what his beautiful bride, or his beautiful betrothed wife said to him. Verse 2, I sleep, but my heart is awake. Ooh, it's the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew and my locks are as the drop of the night. He said, let me in. It's cold out here. Look what she says in verse 3. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my pretty little feet. How can I defile them or get them dirty? And here he goes again. My beloved put his hand by the door, by the latch of the door. And then she says, my heart yearned for him. And I arose to open for my beloved. and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. She said, I could smell him. I could smell whatever he had on. Now, see, this is just, I read that in less than just a few seconds. But we don't know how long this scenario took. He may have stood there for a while arguing with her, please let me in. And yet she's like, I took my coat off. I don't even have my robe. I took my shoes off. And then it says, she says, oh, now I feel my love again. And she got up and she put her hand on the door. Verse 6, and I opened for my beloved. But my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me, and they struck me, and they wounded me. The keepers of the walls, they took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, would you tell him I'm lovesick? I want to see him. She gave him the flimsiest, craziest excuses. And I hear the church, the remnant, the body of Christ. I'll say the church. The body of Christ saying, oh God, I'm sleepy in the spirit. I'm spiritually sleepy. But God, my heart's awake. My spirit is sharp. Didn't the Bible said, oh, my heart is willing, but my flesh is weak. Do you remember when the disciples, even the disciples of Jesus, he was going to die. Their lover was going to go away. And he was praying. He knew they were going to come and crucify him. And he went back and they were laying there asleep just like the beautiful little Shulamite woman. They were laying asleep and Jesus said, what? Am I not important enough that you couldn't stay awake for 1 hour? Pray with me. She says, well, I've already taken my robe off. Listen, folks, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there's still people staying home from church that had COVID 2 years ago. 2020, and they're still making excuses. Nobody in the church wears a mask. Well, nobody at Walmart wears one either. Don't let them get by with that stupidity. I took my robe off. I took my shoes off. It's always something. I got to stay home and spray the weeds. I do my laundry on Sunday morning. We'll do it on Sunday afternoon. Jesus. But boy, when we want him, we want Johnny on the spot. You need to just do this, Lord. You need to take care of this for me. Look. We could stay, yeah, we could do this all day long, I'm telling you. He said, I just want them to know how much I love them. But I put my hand by the door. He said, man, I called her one more time. I put my hand on the latch, and I just wanted to see if she'd give me one more chance to come in. I had missed her, and I so wanted to be with her, but I got there. And then she says, And she waited and waited, and she says, I finally got up. I had to see him, and I opened the door, and he was gone. Nobody takes joy in knowing this. But God says, I will not always strive with man. He gives grace, and he gives mercy, and he gives grace. And people think, well, God isn't judging. He's not correcting me, nothing bad is happening, and I just get more and more blessed every day. I'm more blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. But the Bible says that he blesses us to draw us to repentance. He's kind when we're not kind. He's good when we're sleeping. He's kind when we're hungover with the world. But he said, I'm doing that I might draw you to repentance. Because I love you so much. And one day that same person might see Oh, Jesus, you did shed all your blood for me. Yes, the dew was on your hair and upon you. And they'll see how good he is. Oh, Jesus, I'm coming in. And then when they get there, they feel nothing. Where did he go? Where has he been? Where is he? I'm telling you, church, we still have time to give him everything that we have. We can't let anything come and take it. She knew his voice. You saw that she said, I sleep, but my heart is awake. What did she say? In verse 2, she said, it is the voice of my beloved. Not one of us in this house can say, he never speaks to me. You just can't. Because he does. And he talks to us so that you will hear him in your spirit. And the more you meet with him, the more you will know that. But see, she had grown so comfortable in her bed. It was nice and warm. Robe is laying over here. Shoes are beside the bed. But it was just so cozy and comfortable. And that's why these seats are empty today. Because people are so comfortable at home. Get all comfortable. I know, you guys, listen. We need to get away. We have to have those little spots. We have to go on vacations. You just have to have those times of rest. We do. We're human. We got to have them. It's good for us. But man, when it's time to go to the house of the Lord and you can, get there. Get there. She knew his voice. And you know what? Just as he stood there and he knocked, she said, that's the voice of my beloved. I heard him calling me. But then as he put his hand on the latch of the door, what did Jesus say in the book of Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on your family's heart. They may be acting like they're ignoring us, but you all just keep on praying. You keep on praying for them. Don't you ever let up and say, Jesus, please keep knocking. Please keep knocking. I know my baby. I know her. I know him. I know they'll get up one day and answer that door. Please keep knocking. Listen, Jesus could knock the door down if he wanted to, but he doesn't, because he's gracious and he's good. And he stands there and he's like, I hope they answer for me. I can't wait to come into their heart and live with them and be their husband. Overshadow them. Take them to my banqueting table. And fill them with riches and honor in life. All the good things of life. But she had neglected him and made foolish excuses. But Jesus, he let me know that he knows his church is real sleepy today. Lazy, sleepy, uncomfortable. Comfortable. And I'm telling you, church, we're coming to a time where it's not going to be very comfortable on this earth. He is rocking the boat. How about these things flying over America? Third one, fourth one in 3 days? He's rocking the boat. I'm just saying, you better get a good grip. And when he opens the door, just let him get on in there, I'll tell you. Because he said, tell him this, the God of Israel, I taught this to my grandbabies the other night. The Bible says the God of Israel never sleeps. He doesn't even slumber. He said, I don't slumber. I don't sleep. I'm always. On call for you always. And even when we use him, he allows himself to be used. He allows himself to be used. I was at PTL Club years ago. While we were there, we're in that beautiful hotel sitting out there, and I was talking to some grandparents. And they had two or three little grandkids with them. And they said, I said, what are you guys doing? They said, oh, well, we're on vacation. We're supposed to be on vacation. But we had to bring our grandkids. We haven't been away, and I don't know when, she said. I said, well, where's Mom and Dad? She said, they're on vacation. I said, you mean they're on vacation? You're on vacation, but you got the babies, and you've never had a lone vacation? She said, no. She said, listen, this is so sweet. See, I didn't get it then, but I get it now. But the only difference is my kids don't use me. I'm like, hey, I'll come over and get the kids. Can I have them? So she says, we have them almost all the time. And, you know, I know we're a busy world and we help out. God bless you, Michael Porsche, taking those, I said, Uber girls, taking kids to school, picking them up, Art and Lynn, you know. We make school runs. I only make 2 days a week, but I love it. I just got the 2 days, but probably if I had five or six, then it would be another story. But anyway, the lady says, oh, you know what? We allow ourselves to be used. I said, honey, that's the sweetest thing I ever heard. You know what that was? Pure love. We allow ourselves to be used. God said, that's sweet and that's pretty. But he said, tell them, I allow myself to be used. I let them use me. I come to their rescue. Sometimes it's just an emergency, and I know they're not going to stay with me. They're just going to get me for this time. But he said, I allow it. He's so sweet. He's just so sweet. But he said, let me tell you one thing. But he will not be mocked. America's fixing to see it, and he's just not going to be mocked by a bunch of stuff. But consider, she pretended like, oh, I don't know how to open the door. I've taken off my shoes. And then what'd she say? How can I open the door? She didn't say, I don't know how. She said, how can I? People are saying, Pastor, how do you expect me to get to church when I'm doing da-da-da-da-da? How do I pay my tithes? How do I do this? I don't know, sweetheart, but you just need to figure it out with him. Just work it out with him. It's none of my business. But you get with him. Like I said, I know we have things to do. Some have to work every single Sunday. Shannon, good to see you here today, honey. You don't get here at a lot of Sundays. David works a lot of Sundays. You all have things to do. I know that. But when you can, seek his face because it's good to be with other people. Well, let me close. Thank God for her little companions. And you know what? The church is your companion. You may see brothers and sisters downtown, even from other churches. But when you get with another brother or sister, be sensitive. Be sensitive to their needs. Be sensitive to what they may be going through and what gifting you may need to share with them, either love, peace, joy, or gentleness. But thank God for her little companions. Turn over to chapter 7, and I'll quit here. Chapter 7. So they lead her back to him. And I love it. If you guys read chapter 6, you'll see where they said, well, what is so great about this man that you love so much? What is so great about him? What makes him so different than all other guys? And so she goes through all that. And then she finally, it says, I didn't read it to you, but it says that when she got up, she didn't see him at the door, that she went out looking for him, and it said she went into the streets. You're not going to find him out there in the world. You're just not. The only place you're going to find him is in a place alone or in the house of God. You'll find him with others. You'll find him when you're alone with him. She went looking for him in certain places, but her sisters, her companions, the Bible said her companions pointed her in his direction, and look what they said. They knew her. They loved her. Church loves each other, don't we? Look at chapter 7, verse 5. They said, who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? She found him. Look, she's coming out of the wilderness. She's coming out of that dry, sleepy spot. Sometimes, listen, we're all human. There's times where we all get sleepy and lethargic spiritually. We just will. It's real life, folks. You can't live up here 99% of the time. It's just not going to happen. But she found him. And she woke up. And she came out of her sleepiness, and here she is coming up out of this wilderness, this dry spot, this sleepy spot. And they said, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I awakened you, she says. Oh, I awakened you under the apple tree where your mother brought you forth. There she who bore you brought you forth. She said, I know we had deep discussions, and you meet with Jesus, and you fuss with him about stuff, and you talk to him about things that you don't get. But then she gives him verse 6 and 7. And she says to this lover of hers, the king, and we say this to Jesus, though he's saying it to us, set me as a seal upon your heart, she says to this man. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. She says, love is hotter than any flame, but let me just be as a seal. Take me into your heart, I'll be yours forever. Verse 7, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Nothing can buy love. The floods can't drown it. A man could give all the wealth of his house. He could give everything he owns and still not buy love. It's priceless. It's amazing. It's unconditional from God to us. And he says, I've given it to you, but I want you married to me. I want us as one. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me today. A beautiful picture of Jesus. Happy Valentine's Day, church. You enjoy your Valentine. Enjoy your lunches. Enjoy your time. Enjoy your chocolates. Men, make sure you visit somewhere and get some flowers or something. I'm just saying. Glory to God. Father, thank you. You're so wonderful and good. Set us as a seal upon your heart. I believe you already did that at the cross. But I just want to look across this crowd because, you know, I could just let everybody go home, but can I just take this minute and ask you if you have been so sleepy and so lethargic spiritually that you've just about ran out of fire, and you feel like your heart is just a little embering charcoal there with a little redness to the charcoal, and there's not any flame there. There's not any fire there anymore. Would everyone just bow your head? Father, I thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. No one would have to even go tap somebody on the arm and say, hey, that's you she's talking to. No, because Holy Spirit, you are talking to them now, and they know because you said that you would show us. That's what conviction does. And if you said, Pastor, I have cooled off. Listen, I'm just telling you, I'm not where I used to be with the Lord. I'm just not. Well, you can be, because he loves you just the same. You know what he called her? He said, oh, let me see you, my perfect one. Do you know why he called her perfect after all that sleepiness she had? Because of righteousness. You are made righteous. And so he says, you're perfect to me. I know you may see your flaws and maybe others want to point out your stuff. But you know what? He said, I know you. I just want to be married to you. I want you mine. I used to do a marriage ceremony. Maybe again someday we'll do it. Hallelujah. But if you say, Pastor, I really do need to come back to Jesus. I want that fire back in my heart where it once was. I want to receive my beloved. I feel like maybe I walked away. Would you lift up your hand and put it right back down and say, you know, that's me, Pastor. I see you, honey. See your hand. Anyone else? I see you, sweetheart. I believe there's probably a lot in here like that. Is there anyone else? Okay, I see you back there. Come on, church, examine yourself. I see you. Come on. Some of these are the ones that love the Lord with all their heart. But they're saying, I know that I just need to get back. I got a little sleepy. Mm-hmm. Wonderful Jesus. Those of you that lifted your hands, and if anyone else want to come, I want them to come with me. Don't be ashamed, because you love God with all your heart, okay? But come down here with me, and let's ask God to ignite the flame. Come on. Come on, let's ask him to ignite the flame. If you feel like that you got a little cool, we've all been there, done that. Come on, don't be bashful. It's one of those things, man. It's not exactly easy down here every day, okay? Come on. Come on. There's reasons why people get sleepy in the spirit. And sometimes you just get tired of the same old thing every day. You go to work, you come home, you cook dinner, you shower. Go to bed, get up the next morning, start the whole scenario over again. Come on, we're being honest this morning. Do you know he is a flame of fire? The Bible said Jesus is a consuming fire. I mean a consuming. That means he will just consume everything. He'll consume our minds. He'll burn out of our minds the stuff that needs to go. He will burn out of our heart the stuff that needs to go. He'll burn out that lethargicness. He'll burn it out. Set us burning. You don't care about the spiritual things anymore. You need to come down here. I'm just not excited about the spiritual things. Well, God can burn that out of you and set you back burning again. All right, everybody, just lift your hands to the Lord. Everyone out there, I want you to pray with this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I take you, Jesus, to be my husband. I take you for better, for worse, in sickness, or in health, until you come for me. I promise to love you, to submit to you, and to be your wife. I submit to have eyes for no other. I will serve you, and help me to hear your voice. And Lord, awaken my heart, awaken my mind, awaken my spirit. I don't want to be sleepy. I don't want to be lethargic. I don't want to be tired. Set my heart burning as a witness for you. I receive the fire of God. Come on, let's sing. All right, there's one more thing I want us to say together. Sweet Jesus, wherever you go, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, that I will do. Your God, your Father, is my God. He's my Father. Your Holy Spirit is my Holy Spirit. Help me to walk in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you feel better? Come on, give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. Again, blessings to all of you who are here today, pastors. Lord, bless you and keep you. And Mama, we say, I know your little heart's broken just like the rest, but may the Lord just build you up and strengthen you. You're just strengthened by being here, you guys. God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and keep you from all harm and danger. May his love cascade down over you in the name of the one who loves us the most. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Again, thanks for being here.